It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports 56 Mornings on this Thursday, April 9th, 2026. The Masters, a tradition unlike any other, underway from Augusta National. One of the topics we'll be talking about today here on the program. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm with you. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. They got a spring sale going on right now. Check them out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. As you get your Thursday morning going, 57 degrees. Going to warm up today to 81. A lot of sunshine, a little bit of clouds. And then tonight, we're looking at a low of 57 degrees, clear skies. We could have some record high temperatures coming up this weekend. First of all, your Friday looks to be spectacular with a high of 83. And then Saturday, as I mentioned, they're looking at 86, 87 degrees. Sunday looks nice as well. And no rain in sight until early next week, possibly not until Tuesday. So take advantage of the beautiful weather. The weather is nice, although a cool start to round one of the Masters that we'll talk about here in just a few moments. Plenty of different topics to get to, including spring football continuing for the University of Memphis as a QB1 emerged from practices. The Grizzlies last night on the road in Denver, they fall to the Nuggets. Although, another good first half, another good effort by the Grizzlies. And now, the big one on Friday, tomorrow, all eyes will be on Utah for the Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz. We got some news from SEC Media Days. Yes, we know exactly who will be where and when. We'll give you that lineup, and it will not be Ole Miss and LSU head coach Lane Kiffin on the same day. Boo, they should have done that. Major League Baseball, we got a lot going on, including the passing of a legend. Kerry Miller will join us to talk both Major League Baseball, and we'll wrap up the college basketball season with Kerry, who covers both sports at Bleacher Report. He'll join us at 8:25. The latest on the portal as well. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That is your lineup for today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Masters.
Happy Masters to you. Coming up at 9 o'clock today, by the way, we're going to play at a new game show that just came out. It's called So You Think You Know This Year's Grizzlies.
Ooh.
I'm going to test you and Jay on your knowledge of this year's Grizzlies.
I think I'm going to struggle.
I know I'm going to struggle.
Oh, you will struggle.
He's got a diabolical smile.
The questions
right
I
now.
Have, like, I like just trying to, like, I knew what the questions kind of were that I wanted to ask, and then I, like, thought of what my answer would be, and I would not have done very well.
Well, I'll have to admit, obviously, I got to keep an eye on things because that's what we do on the show. The Grizzlies are our team. We talk about it, but I am the opposite of being dialed in with this team over the last couple of months. I got to be honest with you. I'll watch a few minutes. I'll turn it off. I don't care to watch these guys play.
I said it on the happy hour the other day. I hadn't watched since John banged his elbow on the rim.
Yeah, and it's understandable.
It's hard. It's hard to watch. You try. I try to give him a quarter sometimes, but it's just it gets rough. And then, you know, when the other stuff's going on, you have contenders on right. television as well. And you know me, I have multiple games rolling at once. So tension will kind of roll, sway from one way to the other.
Yeah, there's more important games to be watching, games with a lot of postseason significance. But I will give it up to the Grizzlies. I've said it before. I'll say it again. These guys who are out there on 10-day contracts and two-way deals, and they're playing their tails off. And last night, we didn't bring this up on the show yesterday. Maybe you guys realized it. I did not until later in the day. The Grizzlies, 23.5-point underdogs to the Nuggets. According to Joe Mullinax, friend of the show, that's the second largest spread in NBA history. And the Grizzlies, at halftime, were leading Denver in Denver. Remember, they had just beaten Denver in Memphis. They were leading 72-68. They end up losing by 17. They cover the spread. But they lose the game going away. But, once again, the effort put forth by these guys, when you know they're trying to lose. Well, the players aren't. Let's make sure we got that straight. But the team, the organization, losses are better right now. We understand tanking. But to see somebody like Cedric Coward, who has been terrific, go for 27 points and end up a plus 17 in a 17-point loss.
Plus 14.
As I said, a plus 14 in a 17-point loss. Taylor Hendricks, he was 16-6, and he was, was he a plus 17?
He was a plus 14.
Okay, I can't rewrite. Plus 14, but plus 14, that's the point, though, that those guys out there are playing Denver as 23.5-point dogs, and when they're all out on the court, they're outscoring Denver by 14 points. So I give them a lot of credit. Some teams have been more obvious in their tanking. We know. Nobody's naive what's going on. But I think the effort from the players themselves, most of who will not be with the organization next year, has been pretty respectable.
It's been very respectable, especially for certain guys. But I wonder what the money line was, first half money line last night. I wonder if you would have bet Grizzlies first half money line, what kind of odds you would have gotten. I mean, that, like, Denver at halftime had to be going, what the hell? Why can't we beat this team? Like, what is going on with us versus these guys that we don't even know who the hell they are and they keep beating us? But the second half, I mean, Denver basically got every rebound in the second half. Like, it was just Jokic, I think, had 10 in the second half alone. Like, they just realized, okay, they don't have anybody on the court tall enough to do anything. And so Jokic dominated the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, he may have started the fourth. I can't remember if he was even played at all in the fourth. And Valanciunas came in. Like, they just kept getting every single rebound.
What was the second half spread? Denver was favored by what in the second half? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Because it's obvious at halftime. Now, I didn't play the game, but I'm looking at that going, oh my gosh, you got to go heavy on Denver. So they ended up outscoring the Grizzlies, 68-47, correct? They outscored them by 21. The line for the game was 23.5. That second half, after a Grizzlies lead at the half by 4, I bet it was under 21.
Well, yeah, it's probably, I don't know, between 12 and 15, I would guess, was probably the second half.
Yeah, line. So again, you made a couple of bets on the Grizzlies last night. You were a winner. Jokic ends up going for a quiet triple-double. And when I say quiet, 14 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. Not his typical 30, 17, and 14. He has nearly 40 triple-doubles this year. Jamal Murray went for 26 points. He ended up playing 35 minutes.
It was hilarious on defense, though, with Jokic, because and Brevin kept talking about, like, there was nobody for him to guard. And he just would not. He refused to come out of the paint to guard whoever it was that he was guarding. It would be like Okani, who's the center that the Grizzlies had on the floor. And Jokic just stood basically in the paint, was like, I don't care. I'm not coming out there to guard you. You can do whatever you want to do. And then just wide open shots. You could have wide open shots if you wanted them, because he just was not going to try and guard somebody on the perimeter who's like 8 inches smaller than him, and he knows a lot quicker than him. So it was funny to watch that. But you mentioned Cedric Coward. This is crazy with Cedric Coward. So the Grizzlies have lost the last two games, the game Monday here against Cleveland and then this game. They've lost the two games by a combined 33 points. Cedric Coward in those two games is a combined plus 33.
I know.
So in the two games, the Grizzlies are 66 points better with him on the court versus him off the court.
I don't know. I think most people do that follow the team, but certainly not everybody understands just how good this guy is and the potential to be great.
We did a podcast with 94 Feet of Life last night, and we were giving out like our customary season awards. And I had a 10-man award for the top 10 players, or what I felt were the top 10 guys that were age 25 and under. Cedric made that squad for me. I had no choice. I'm looking at this is like with Wimby, Cade, Ant, Cooper, Khan, VJ, Jalen Johnson, Jalen Duren, Cedric Howard. Mm-hmm. Those were my 10. And I was just thinking that I'd go to the box score. I'm like 27 points, 21 minutes last night.
I wonder where he's going to be, like how, what the all-rookie
right
team
right.
Because like.
The team's right. So bad, and is it going to hurt him?
Well, it hurts him because he didn't play. Like if he was playing 30 minutes a night, exactly. There's no question he would be a first-team all-rookie right. selection. But the fact that they limit him now so much, right. And he's like taking games off, and he's when he does play, they play him 20 minutes. Like I wonder, I don't know. Like I haven't really looked to see like who the candidates are where he might fall. But right. I hope he. Like, I hope people in the voting realize, like, he should be a first-team all-rookie.
Oh, no question. And they look at the stats that you just brought up, if they do their due diligence and realize, oh, my gosh, when he's on the floor, they're pretty good, even with all those dudes hurt.
I got to pull this up. I think he is the only remaining Grizzly, who's actually been here all year, who has a positive plus minus for the year.
Wow. And think about this. He hardly played last year in college. He was hurt. He was headed to Duke. Give Kleiman credit for that and the powers that be for making that pick. They zeroed in on Coward. They got their guy. Knock on wood that the bad juju at FedEx Forum with this team doesn't happen to him, because I think he has the chance to be an all-star in the future and the face of the organization. Now, it all depends on who they get in the draft, and maybe they'll get one of his top picks and they'll end up being a perennial superstar. Who knows what will happen in the future? But with Jackson traded, Dez traded, Ja on his way out, Edie's interesting, but again, the injuries. Coward is the guy that you have to build around. And I believe he will become the face of this organization. And I think it's a great face to have, because I think he is a splendid player who's only going to get better and better.
Positive plus minuses for the year for the Grizzlies. Number one, or this is per 100 possessions, but the best on the team, that goes to Zach Edey in those 11 games he played. He was a plus 17.7. In his per 100 possessions.
He was damn good when he played.
Number two on that list, that would go to Christian Koloko. Remember him? He was a plus 5.9. He also only played 11 games.
If they had kept him, they would be in the playoffs.
Vince Williams Jr., a plus 1.2 per 100 possessions.
Really?
In his 34
right
games.
Right now he's out of the league.
And then Cedric Coward, barely, just a .1, but a positive. He's the only one of four guys, and obviously the only one of those that has gone through the tanking portion of the schedule where they're literally trying to lose games, and still he has managed for the year to come out as a positive plus minus, which is pretty darn impressive.
Well, think about all the different guys they're surrounding him with that is on the court at the same time as him. Guys that he probably just met that morning and is still slightly, but still a positive in the plus minus. That says an awful lot about how Coward can adapt to other guys and they can adapt to him, because he's easy to work with. He's easily coachable. I love everything about this guy. Everything.
And he gives us that stat that just reminds me even more. At 9 o'clock, we are toast, Craig.
He's also a plus 8.9 per 100 possessions with his on-court versus off-court. So they are 8.9 points better per 100 possessions with him on the court than they are off. And that is best on the team other than Edie, again, who only played 11 games, and Koloko, who only played 11 games. That he is better. He is the best of everybody in that category as well.
And again, last night, 10 of 17 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. How many turnovers? 0. played 22 minutes, was a plus 14. By the way, the Grizzlies are the Nuggets with the win. They got the current longest winning streak in the NBA. That is now at 10. But it's over in the West, Oklahoma City. They have clinched the Western Conference title for a third straight year. The Thunder blowing out the Clippers in Los Angeles, 128-110. So the Thunder will finish first. The Spurs, of course, the only team that had a chance going yesterday, but a slight chance at best to catch Oklahoma City, will finish second. Denver with the win. I don't believe they clinched third. Maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're in a pretty good position. Lakers are a game and a half behind. Lakers still have three games to play. Nuggets have two, so I don't think they clinch. And then the Rockets, of course, actually tied with the Lakers. Both are 50-29. So I think the Nuggets got to win, what, another game to clinch the third?
Well, I'm not sure where they are in the tiebreaker with the Lakers and Rockets, but, I mean, they certainly have not clinched at this point. They
right.
could still finish fifth at this point.
Well, let's see what they got left.
I'm not sure what their tiebreaker situation is with those two teams.
They had the Thunder on Friday. And again, the Thunder, after just clinching, probably will rest some guys. And then they play actually at the Spurs on Sunday. And again, the Spurs clinch second place, so they may rest some guys. So Denver actually with two tough opponents, but the scenarios may be where those guys aren't even. And I'm not saying they couldn't beat them even full strength, but it might be a little bit easier situation for Denver to sew up that third spot. Elsewhere last night, the Mavericks lose to the Suns. 112-107. The Magic get a win, and I know that's important for the Grizzlies. They beat the Timberwolves 132-120. So, the Grizzlies right now are a half a game, or actually a game, behind New Orleans, and they're tied with Dallas with two games remaining as they battle for draft lottery status. The issue is going to be that the Grizzlies play tomorrow night in Utah. And while I think the Grizzlies have done a really good job in perfecting the tank where it's not so devious and obvious and comical, Utah, well, at least early in the tanking process, made it real comical with every guy getting hurt or supposedly getting hurt and out for the year. I don't know how. I don't know if Memphis can avoid winning that game against Utah. They really need to lose, but I don't see it happening. And that could be a difference of what? Sixth or eighth? Worst record?
Yeah, they'll be sixth, seventh, or eighth in that order, depending on what happens over these final few days of the season. The funny thing is, it's like Utah got fined because they wouldn't play guys in the fourth quarter. And they made it quite clear. And they even, when asked, like, they said, no, we weren't going to play those guys in the fourth quarter. But it was like, it was big enough names like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. The Grizzlies just don't have big enough names that they're refusing to play in the fourth quarter. That's the only difference is they don't have the big enough names. They're not a star player. They're sitting in the fourth quarter. They're sitting their best players in the fourth quarter. They're just not Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. The Grizzlies aren't doing anything different, really, than what Utah was doing. Utah just had bigger names.
Although they did put Coward back in the game last night. He, at the end of the game, he was getting points.
Yeah,
he had like their last 6 points or something like that. But you're right. Yeah, they don't have.
I mean,
big
generally, enough. The Grizzlies are doing exactly what Utah did. They're just doing it. They just don't have the names that everybody goes, well, that's crazy. They're not playing them.
And like we were just saying, Greg, if they put them back in the fourth, they just probably did that to cover that base.
Yeah, they put them back in when they know they're not going to catch them.
Right.
Denver's got it. We can put Cedric back in the
right.
game. Did you see the comments yesterday from Draymond Green? Not that he's the end all be all, but he talked about tanking.
I saw on the screen, but I didn't hear the audio.
Well, he basically said. He might have said 12 teams. He said at least 10, right? He says there's 10 teams tanking, and there's been two teams fined. So if they want to, you know, he's talking about, you want to be serious about tanking? I mean, there's 10 teams tanking. You fine two of those teams. That's what he's saying. The gist of what he was saying yesterday.
He also brought up the whole situation the other night in their game with Sacramento, which I still don't. The NBA is investigating it, but I don't understand. Like, it does. Like, fouling a guy with 3 minutes to go on purpose, like, I don't understand why. Like, if you were tanking and you're like, we're fouling this guy because we're leading with 3 minutes to go, makes no sense. Like, I don't like that. I don't know why that would be a tanking thing. Like, you do that with 20 seconds to go, maybe.
Right.
But 3 minutes to go, like, who cares? Like, they're not going to do that. It's clearly they were trying to get a timeout. They wanted to be able to use their timeout. They were about to lose if it went under 3 minutes. Now, they screwed up, apparently, what they say. And, I believe them. They didn't realize Golden State was in the bonus. And so they fouled a really good free throw shooter, thinking it didn't matter because they're not going to shoot free throws. But they were in the bonus, so they screwed up there. But the play, like, so Curry goes to the line, makes one free throw. Sacramento went down and made a three on the play that they drew up at the timeout. So if they were tanking, if the move was, hey, we're going to foul because we're leading and we want to give them the lead, which they didn't take, they only tied it. Well, you wouldn't draw up a play and get a three-pointer at the other end.
Execute the play at that.
Like, that's like, right. So, like, I don't – and they didn't, like, immediately foul again. Like, oh, my gosh, we're up by three. We got to foul again. Like, so I don't, like – I don't even understand the thought that that was a tanking thing that they fouled on purpose right. while they were up by one with over 3 minutes remaining in the game.
Because Draymond jumped at conclusions because they're fouling a guy who's almost automatic at the free throw line. But then afterwards, you know, Doug Christie's not this 20-year-old grizzled head coach, and he admitted he made a mistake. And yes, you're absolutely right. At 3 minutes as opposed to 20 seconds, that wasn't a tanking move. I think that's Draymond being Draymond. But his other point about only two teams have been fined for tanking, you know, that's an interesting comment. Now, the NBA did announce yesterday, or they didn't announce it, Shams reported it, that the NBA Board of Governors will meet on May 28th and they will vote on anti-tanking draft lottery reform. Which system they use or which proposal they use. We saw three of them. There could be another one added, something they could end up combining a couple of things. Who knows what they'll end up doing? But there will be some sort of rule implemented after the Board of Governors have this meeting. It will absolutely happen. Whether or not it will be something that...
And it will do nothing
we'll
to
laugh at? Exactly.
Tanking.
Yeah, whether or not we'll look at it, but what are they
year,
doing?
Teams will tank.
Teams will find ways to tank. Also, in the NBA last night, good news for the Detroit Pistons, who are hoping to make a long run in the playoffs. Cade Cunningham returned to action in the lineup, double-double against the Milwaukee Bucks. He had been sidelined since March 19th.
You mentioned Orlando got the win last night. Orlando's now seventh, and they've still got a good chance to get into the top six and not even be in the play-in. So it's looking tougher for the Grizzlies to get that second lottery pick. However, they could still fall. They could still stay where they are. They could still fall too. That race remains tight. Atlanta's a game up on Orlando. Toronto's a half game up on Orlando. And Orlando's a half game up on Philadelphia. So you got a game and a half separating 5 through 8 in the Eastern Conference. Here's the question in the East, though. Detroit, we know, is the number one seed. Boston's the number two seed. New York and Cleveland are separated by a half game for 3 and 4. New York technically could still get the 2 seed, but they would have to win out, Boston lose out. That's probably not going to happen. They actually play each other tonight. If Boston wins, they've secured the number 2 seed.
You're going to ask, who would you want to play?
If you're the Knicks or Cleveland, would you rather be 3 to play Boston in the second round or 4 to play Detroit in the second round? Because to me, it's a no-brainer. I would much rather play Detroit. I wouldn't want to mess with the experienced championship team who now has Jason Tatum back versus a team who hasn't done it at all in Detroit.
That's Detroit's the answer.
Only reason why it's Detroit, because of that experience that Boston has and the way that Tatum has turned the corner this last week. I think he's putting up like 21, 10, and 5 or something, and not even at full speed. Scary.
Yeah,
scary
like hours. If I'm the Knicks, like I'm wanting to lose to Boston tonight and – because you know you're not going to catch them. You're not getting to number two.
Right.
So I'm like, we'll lose tonight, and then we'll figure out a way to get – we'll lose out, let Cleveland pass us, and we will gladly take Detroit in the second round.
Boston is a story that has not been publicized enough with what they've done this year. First of all, for Jason Tatum to come back, to be where he is, ready to go in the postseason, to have a number of games now under his belt to prepare for the postseason. But when you think about the moves they made in the offseason, sure, Jaylen Brown back, major cog in that lineup, and Tatum, you got your main guys. But think about the teams from the last couple of years. Porzingis is gone. Horford's gone. White's still there, though. Am I missing somebody else? A key player?
Drew Holiday.
And Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
And yet, look where they are.
And doing it with guys like Baylor Shearman. And you know, it was like, I barely remember Baylor Shearman when he was in college, and I had to go look it up. I'm like, okay, now I remember him.
Right.
But just the coaching job that Joe Mazzulla does.
Mazzulla's a great coach, and Stevens in the front office, they seem to make the right picks every time.
They've mastered it.
Yeah,
they've mastered this thing.
I would not be surprised. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if any of the four that were just mentioned win the East. Knicks, Pistons, Celtics, or who am I missing?
The Cavs.
Cavs.
And the Cavs are very formidable. You know, I mean, if you got Donovan Mitchell, who's giving you 30 a night right now, and then you bring in a James Harden to add to that mix, good big guys on the interior with Mobley and Allen. They got shooters around the horn. That's a good squad in Cleveland, man. And a great coach with Kenny Atkinson, so.
You just said the reason, though, that I don't believe they'll win the East.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with that one. But
If it gets to a game seven, they ain't winning.
This is fair. And in fairness to him, also to try to defend him, he don't have to carry the same load with this crew.
He doesn't.
Although, it's a bit so in game that
seven,
he will.
So in game seven, when he chooses not to shoot the basketball, there's actually somebody else who will shoot it for him.
Mitchell will pick it up.
Donovan ain't scared of it.
He can go ahead and take his two field goal attempts in a game seven and not have to worry about it.
I still think Philly could be scary.
Oh, yeah.
If not
to beat you, then to extend the series longer than what it should go.
All right. We'll take a timeout. We're just underway on a Thursday. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:30 is the time, just underway on this Thursday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. We got Masters to talk about a little bit later on in the show. Right now, I want to talk some college hoops. CBS Sports, TNT Sports delivered the most watched NCAA men's basketball championship game in 7 years. They averaged 18.3 million on those platforms. They peaked at 20.4 million. So very good numbers for the NCAA basketball tournament and specifically the championship game.
No surprise. People watch.
Especially if the gambling continues in the country the way it does, with more states adding. Although, did you see the story the other day? Was it Ohio that the one legislator is trying to get a bunch of the gambling banned? Like, actually, that you could do it on your phones and parlays and things of that nature. I forget all the specifics, but dude's on a crusade. I think that genie is nowhere near the bottle. That genie's flown away. It is not going to happen.
Well, there's a lot of people, a lot of folks out there that are fighting against the Kalshi and all those, the non-gambling, air quotes, big air quotes, prediction markets.
Yeah, I understand what Kalshi is. It's something that just doesn't excite me. It's kind of like crypto. I'm not going near crypto. I know people make money somehow on that. I'm like, to me, it's like I need to feel the thin arrows in my hand. I need to have something concrete.
The I think I saw somebody that on, I think it was on Kalshi or one of the, I think it was on Kalshi that bet like, or has $220,000 on Scottie Scheffler to not win the Masters.
So what would that pay?
Like the right now the profit would be like $60,000.
It'd be nice to just have $220,000 to just kind of throw out there, because I don't think Scottie's going to win it. So this guy's going to, or gal, whoever it is, will more than likely make a cool $60,000 off that.
But that's the thing. That's what those, and again, in the states that don't have gambling, where that is, that, those are the ones where the, those states are really trying to fight back against that, because it is gambling, even though it is not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But those states are trying to get those things banned from their states. But
how about the states that have legalized sports book gambling like we do here in Tennessee? Are they putting together some sort of crusade against Kalshi? Is it like it hurts them if they have that in the state? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. The state doesn't.
I mean, how does it work? How does Kalshi work? Is it work just like regular sports gambling that you're on their site and you have an account and you just make a bet?
No, you're buying.
You're buying stock?
You're buying yes or no's.
You're buying yes or no's.
But
you're paying for the yes or no. You got an account and you're going, okay, let's say you got $5,000 in your account and you click whatever $3,000 to say yes on this certain question or whatever, or no.
And I think how they dance around it is they do with other stuff outside of sports. Then,
yeah, they do anything. It's yes or no. Like, you could probably go in there right now and bet you'd choose yes or no of, will the high temperature in Memphis get over 85 degrees today?
Jeez. Degenerate gambling, man.
It's gambling, but it's just not.
It is gambling, but it's not. Like
under the banner of sports.
What they are, they have been determined to not be gambling. That's why they are legal in 50 states. As of right now, I think it's all 50. But yeah, so they have found a way around a gambling label. But yeah, I mean, there's literally everything in the world you can imagine on there.
Do you go on it?
I don't have any money or anything like that. I've gone on there just to look at it and see what, like, just exactly what kind of all stuff they have on there. And I knew, there is weather there. Like, there is.
I thought it was a Greek dish when I first saw it. Kalshi. I thought it was some kind of salad, maybe some Greek salad. Seriously, I was like, what is Kalshi? What are people talking about Kalshi? The hell is this thing?
But yeah.
Some bread. Is it a Greek bread? Greek salad? Sounds Greek to me. It's all Greek to me.
Let's see here.
Somebody said it's much like commodities. You're buying futures.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're buying. It's a stock market for
everything.
Everything.
Life.
Because you can, you can buy something. Like, say you buy Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters or not win the Masters. You don't have to wait to see if he wins or loses. You could, if the price goes up, you could sell your shares at a profit at that point. You could just get out of it if you want to. So it is like the stock market, in that you don't have to wait for the result. You could get out of it, sell it, whatever. But I mean, there's a million political things on there. There's weather. There's
the war.
I mean, it's
the Iran war. Can you bet on something like that?
I can imagine they had TV show plots and kind of stuff.
Man, more ways for people to lose money.
Get action, as they say.
And be homeless.
Yeah, they've got, I'm just looking, just pull up, they've got a first round, just Scottie Scheffler versus Bryson DeChambeau first round. So you could choose either side of it and go from there. But yeah, I mean, they've got, you got 2028 Democratic presidential nominee stuff. You've got, but there's, again, it's mostly yes, no, but there's also like that type stuff. Like, you could choose out of this group and all the money is split there. Like, they've got, will there be more tech layoffs in 2026 than in 2025? Yes or no? Like, if you know that stuff and you want to get involved in that, by all means, go right ahead.
So you have to wait all the way up until December 31st, 2026.
No, you could sell out.
Just like
you
a futures
sell your bid. Shocks.
Or just like a futures bid when you bid it at the beginning of the season and you're going to cash to the end.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, not for me. I'm not interested.
How high will unemployment get before 2030? Above 9%? Above 10%? I don't know how many different things there is you could choose.
So I never did stock market stuff. And I was never into the stock market.
And this type of website also is how people's heads get messed up on social media because they get inundated with this stuff all the time, and it becomes them. And they post about it, and it's like, you need therapy.
If you've got the money and you want to probably go through this, and you could you could probably find some things that you could make money on, and especially buying it, letting the price go up, getting out of it, stuff like doing it, just like guys do the stock market. I'm sure if you were really got into this and you wanted to pay enough attention and everything else, you could probably figure out a way to make some money off of it.
Yeah, it's not for me. But I know it's something that a lot of people are talking about. I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know what it was at first. I had no idea what it was.
The state of the economy at the end of 2026. Stagflation, soft landing, overheating. I don't even know what any of that means. I wouldn't even know what I'm looking for. But yeah, I mean, the political stuff on here. I can't even imagine the people that get out here for the political stuff.
College basketball. Mentioned the ratings. Obviously, were huge for the Natty. North Carolina, who, of course, made a big splash with the hiring of former Denver Nuggets head coach Mike Malone. Now, according to John Rothstein, Chuck Martin will become the associate head coach for Mike Malone. That is a seasoned veteran college basketball coach who was with John Calipari at Arkansas this past year. Malone and Martin were actually assistants together under Bobby Gonzalez. Remember Bobby Gonzalez, former Manhattan coach? That was way back in 1999-2000, during that last season before the century changed. And now Chuck Martin will become, according to John Rothstein, the associate head coach for Mike Malone. As we talked about yesterday, it's important to have a nice mixture on your staff. But obviously, with Mike's ties more to the NBA, especially over the last 15 years, to have somebody who's been in the college game now since the game has changed with the NIL, rev share, transfer portal, to have a seasoned veteran, very, very important. The portal continues to fill up, although I'm told there's room. There's still room for more. It never quite fills up completely, but there is room. There was a story yesterday from a guy named Hitman Hoops, who's been on the show before, who said that Memphis is involved with a guard from Northwestern by the name of Jaden Reed, who averaged 10 points, 5 assists. Now, before he went to Northwestern and played in the Big Ten, he had played at South Florida for 2 years. So somebody very familiar to Penny Hardaway. But he also said that schools like Auburn, Virginia Commonwealth, which will be on the Memphis schedule this upcoming season, Kansas State and Texas A&M, among others, are all in the mix for Jaden Reed. Also yesterday from the portal, Brock Weiss, who played at Houston High School, the 6'10 big man, has a new home, and it's Kansas State. So Brock Weiss has had an interesting college journey so far. He went from Creighton his freshman year in 23-24, to North Texas in 24-25, to Murray State last year in 25-26. I don't know how many minutes he was playing a game for Ryan Miller, but hits the portal and will now be with his fourth different school in 4 years. Wish him well, Brock Weiss, the former Houston High School standout. But as far as Memphis is concerned, that's the first name other than the P.J. Hagerty's, the Rowan Brumballs, the D.J. Wagner's, and those type of names that have surfaced in stories. But to this point, no player in the portal has committed yet to the University of Memphis. Who knows if there has been any formalized offers, solid offers yet. Like I said yesterday, and like people should know, you got a 2-week transfer portal window where you can jump in. Does not mean that you have to have all your guys signed in 2 weeks. The signings can take place whenever. It's just you're battling every other school who's going after all the players. So you want to try to get that done. But players that will be in the portal for a while, you don't have to worry about having them signed in 2 weeks. It's certainly advantageous, I believe, to have your squad set as early as possible. But we've seen Penny where he's had seasons adding players in August and September. A couple of years ago had a really good season and added players late. Last year had pretty much most of those players in place, with the exception of a couple of big guys, and it didn't work out. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no perfection to the madness of recruiting. But that's the way it is right now. Again, you got the portal open until the 21st. Players can continue to jump in, but you don't have to have those players sign necessarily during that signing period.
ESPN updated their top portal players list. P.J. Haggerty, number 6 on their list.
Okay.
Of portal guys. As he will be going to his 5th school. He's number 6, but he'll be going to his 5th school. Jeff Goodman yesterday tweeted out that he had talked to 10-plus high-major head coaches, assistants, and GMs about what basically the pricing. The prices are out there.
The price is right, Bob.
For the elite guys, the top 25 guys, mm-hmm. basically, in the portal. According to what they told him, big men, you're looking at $4 to $5 million.
For the top end guys.
Point guards, $3 to $4 million. Wings, $2.5 to $3 million.
Does that surprise you guys at all, of the price for the big man?
No.
After what we saw this past tournament, no.
See, I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly. But what have we heard the last few years about that? It's all about threes.
Little threes.
Making the threes.
You got to get somebody to get the rebounds.
You got to get somebody to get the rebounds.
Well, you need rim protection. It's not just about threes. It's also about getting to the rim.
Look at Michigan.
You have to have the rim protection.
Look at Michigan with rim protection.
Look at Michigan with their ability to knock down the three as well. They make you pick a poison. If you take away one, they hit you with another. That's all that happened Monday night.
Memphis has always emphasized the point guard, okay, which is understandable. But if we're going on that, just on that unscientific poll that he put together and talking to these guys in anonymity, I believe, you said $4 to $5 million for the big man. Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 for the point guard?
3 to 4 for the point
3 to 4
guard.
For the point guard. So if you go on the low end of that, that's $7 million for a point guard and a big. The best that they have to offer, that's 7. That's 7 right there. How do you compete? How do you compete if you're a mid-major?
Financially, you don't.
You got to get lucky.
You got to
find the deals.
You have to identify the players. That's where the GM comes in.
And you got to develop those players. Like, you're not going to go buy 2 of the top 25 guys in all likelihood. You got to figure out, okay, we can't afford that. And do we want to spend $5 million on one guy, or can we find 4 guys at a million and a half? And make sure they're the right guys, and they are that's way better together than the $4 or $5 million guy.
But last year, when Memphis was trying to retain Haggerty, what was the number we heard that they had offered, and he turned it down for, again, they said less at Kansas State? Was it $3 million?
I want to say that's the number that I heard.
And we kept hearing that money was really a separate amount of money from what they had allocated for the roster. Like, it was coming from somewhere else. That's what we kept hearing. Say, and again, Haggerty's on the market again. I got a text overnight last night about somebody asking me about Haggerty. I said, I don't know, but he's probably demanding even more. I mean, because he's a steady 21, 22, 23-point guy. But if you had $3 million... I'm just saying, like, you're in Memphis. Just throw out a number, $3 million. And he said, okay, yeah, I'll go back to Memphis for $3 million. and you got, and this is last year, and you, Danger, let's say, was able to get the waiver, which he was never going to get. You probably would have had to play, the way Dane played, you probably would have had to pay Dane too, right? Because you're talking about the front end, the top end guys, $4 to $5 million. I mean, he wasn't a top end, but he was a very good, that's $5 million right there.
And I'm looking at the estimated, you know, value for what they say this Michigan team that just won, it's just at $10 million. Like they're saying, they, at Yaxel, just to get Yaxel was right around 2 to 3.
But Yaxel
and
took.
And it's only gone up.
Right. I think but Yaxel took way less than he could have gotten, right, according to what Yaxel said, from Kentucky and some other schools.
Exactly.
But $10 million for Michigan to put together a national championship team, that's a bargain.
I mean, that's why I mean, most people, like, that's what they said. Like, that the $10 million is kind of the number they believe for the. Right. For is. And there will be some above that.
Yeah, some
that's,
have said
that's kind
now.
Of the competing number.
Right. I think from where they, I saw a coach was pretty much, if you want a viable Sweet 16 contender, it'd be about $10 million.
Because North Carolina promised, they said promised Malone 6.75, yeah. I think, in just revenue sharing.
Right.
That's not NIL. That's the revenue sharing okay. part of it. So I assume on top of that, with NIL, I don't know what number they're going to get to total, but I think I think there was 6.75 in just revenue sharing money for his roster at North Carolina. Folks, if you're moving into a new home, maybe it's a new business, new office space, anywhere you're moving, anytime you're moving, you don't want to try and do that all yourself. You need to get some experts, some professionals on your side. You need to talk to the professionals at Black Tie Moving, 901-316-6196, or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis to talk to the professionals, the experts at Black Tie Moving. They will take good care of you. They'll take good care of your belongings, making sure everything goes as smoothly as possible, taking the stress and worry out of it for you. They work with you to come up with a plan fitting exactly what you need from them and making sure that it fits your budget. Talk to the professionals at Black Tie Moving, 901-316-6196, or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
14th team gets the first pick, and the worst team gets the 14th pick.
Well, the team that gets the pick is the six. It's still the 16th worst team in the NBA. It may not be the 30th worst team in the NBA, but it's still the 16th worst team in the NBA. It's still a bad team. It's a marginal team, maybe not a disaster. I don't know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back hour two, give you a Masters update for the first time. Round one is underway from Augusta National. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.